Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety Fact Podcast. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I'm the owner of Child Anxiety Support, a membership for parents of anxious kids. I have my master's in clinical counseling and additional postgraduate training in child anxiety disorders, including exposure and response prevention and the Supportive Parenting for Anxious Childhood Emotions Program, or SPACE program, which was designed by Dr. Ellie Lebowitz of the Yale Child Study Center. I'm also certified in infant toddler mental health. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and each week I'll be answering your questions about childhood and teen anxiety. Let's get started. Today's question is, why doesn't validating my anxious child work? This was actually a much longer question, and I'm going to read it in its entirety here with some personal information deleted. Okay, quote, I've been following your Instagram and listening to your podcast for some time. You tell people to validate their child's feelings, but this does not work. It doesn't calm down my child or make her less anxious, so why are you recommending it? End quote. Listener, thank you for following me, and thank you for coming to me directly with this question and for giving me permission to answer it here as well as through our email exchange. I usually think about this podcast during my run, and I was thinking about this one after my long run last Sunday when I was walking up this absolutely gigantic hill. I dread this hill every time I run that route because I'm already exhausted. Sunday is my long running day, and also it's just an enormous hill. Anyway, I was very whiny in my head because I was also thirsty and my icy cold water bottle was at the tippy top of the hill, sitting in my car, just waiting for me. And it got me to thinking about going on long walks with thirsty kids, something I'm sure all of you have done before or will do again. And it also got me to thinking about being a thirsty kid, which made me think about validation. Validation is magic. It really is. And sometimes it does work if we're defining work as helping a child calm down and move on from whatever's bothering them. It works with kids and it works with adults because validation says, I hear you. I'm with you. I believe you. As parents, we tend to want to problem solve or teach, to pass on important lessons. Our child is struggling, and we want to point out the ways that their struggle is due to their choices or the ways it's inevitable, like, yep, welcome to reality. Life is hard. I know I'm often guilty of this with my own kids. There's something that just kind of pulls us towards turning everything into a learning opportunity. I mean, that's what parents are for, right? Raising kids, which means teaching and guiding and imparting wisdom. It's understandable that we sometimes are so focused on that teaching and guiding and passing on wisdom that we forget to simply be there. So it's good to validate. It's good to stop in the moment and say, I hear you. I am with you. I believe you. Back to that hill. If you have ever gone on a walk with a thirsty child and forgotten your water bottle, then you're familiar with whining. And saying, I hear you, doesn't work. Saying, I am with you, doesn't work. And saying, I believe you, doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't make the whining stop. But children whine out loud for several reasons. One, it works. Whining usually works. It gets our attention. We want to make it stop. So we'll look for ways to make it stop. You know, the reason the grocery stores put all of that chocolate right there in the checkout line is not just because we're more likely to pull off that Reese's cup and throw it on the scanner, but also our children are right there thinking about how hungry they are, and they're going to wind their way through the line. And we're waiting in line, we're stuck in line, they're bored. We're much more likely to grab a chocolate and give in because whining works. Now, the second thing is, the younger the child is, the more they see us as an extension of themselves. And so whining is part of processing. Children process out loud. They process to their parents because it's part of processing to themselves. We're just part of their thinking most of the time. We are of them. And so thinking out loud is whining to us. And the third reason that children whine is, again, the younger the child is, the more powerful they think we are. If they're thirsty and they tell us that they're thirsty, they expect us to give them something to drink. When we don't, perhaps because we're at the bottom of the hill and the water bottle is at the top, they think we're holding out on them or that we don't believe that they're thirsty. And so they whine even more. This is what I was remembering on my own slog up that hill. I was thinking about being a child and being thirsty and feeling like my mom must not get how thirsty I was or else she would give me water. So I kept trying to explain it to her. I also remember when I was a preschool teacher, I used to babysit for some of the kids in the class. And I remember taking care of twins and putting them to bed. One was wearing a purple nightgown and the other one wanted her purple nightgown, but had chocolate milk spilled all down the front, so she was whining. And I was explaining, logically, as you do, that I could not get her nightgown because her nightgown was covered in chocolate milk. And she was very upset and eventually just laid down on the stairs and wailed. And I was standing there flabbergasted. I'm all of 20, 21, and I'm saying to her, I am not magic. I cannot just instantaneously make your purple nightgown clean. And as I was saying it, frustrated, I realized that of course she thinks I'm magic because she's 3 and she's so unhappy about the nightgown that she thinks I'm holding out on her. She thinks I do have the power to make clean nightgowns appear out of nowhere or the power to at least lift her sadness and frustration. That's being 3. And it actually goes on for a pretty long time. Heck, as an adult, there are times when I think, this just isn't possible. You know, the car breaks down, the check bounces, it all happens on a particularly terrible day, and we think, come on, how am I supposed to tolerate this? And we're grown people who have a sense of time, who have been through good times and bad times. Now consider being a kid, and time seems to stretch on forever. Remember how long summer vacation used to be and how short it is now as a parent? Now think about walking up that hill. That hill lasts forever when you're little. Even as an adult, it can be hard to tolerate, and we know it's not endless. In other words, validation will not make the whining stop, and it will not make the anxiety stop. Validation is a tool that says, I hear you, I am with you, I believe you. But sometimes that's not enough. So much of parenting is about repetition, which is why the experts are always talking about consistency. The more often we respond in the same way to the same circumstances, the easier it is for our child to understand how the world works. Now, that doesn't mean you need to be a robot. We're all going to be inconsistent sometimes. But if we are generally predictable, our children learn that they can more or less kind of, sort of, predict the world. They will whine their way up hills, both literal and metaphorical, but eventually they will learn that hills end. There is water at the top. It will take a lot of whining to get there. This is all to say that when we talk about certain parenting choices working, remember, the original question was about how validating doesn't work. We need to redefine working. No, it doesn't work if your main goal is to get your child to stop whining or stop being anxious. No, it doesn't work if you're hoping to cure your child's anxiety. Validating works as part of big picture parenting. It works in helping your child learn that they are not alone and that you do understand them and that you do believe them. If we believe that validation should work, then we may overvalidate. We may join our child in their suffering, which perpetuates their suffering. If we sat down and wailed with them about the lack of water on the way up the hill, we'd never get to the top of the hill. You're not failing your child when you can't fix things for them. They may think you are. I'm pretty sure that twin felt betrayed by me since I didn't give her purple nightgown. And feeling their sense of failure, it's painful for us. It hurts. It can make us angry or weirdly feel guilty. Maybe guilty because we're the ones who forgot to wash the nightgown or pack the water bottle. So I encourage you to step back. Parenting is a long game. It's lots of busy work and boring tasks and a daily grind that all leads up to helping grow a fully fledged person. We get lots of chances to get it right, lots of room for course correction. The other thing I was thinking as I dragged myself up the hill, which as you can tell from the long convoluted thinking I did, was really a truly long hill, or maybe I'm just slow, but likely a little bit of both. Anyway, what I was thinking is that this impatience with wanting to find a tool, wanting to find a fix, is an awful lot like your child's demand for water when there is no water yet. This yearning to help our kids and to make things better immediately is a reminder of how they're feeling. We're echoing their experience. They want water and we want to give it to them. And both of us, our child and ourselves, need to tolerate how uncomfortable it is to have to wait. By the way, I want you to know that that sad twin I told you about, the one with the purple nightgown, is now an MD. I found this out when one of my clients mentioned her doctor and I recognized the twin's name. I said, next time you see her, tell her your therapist used to change your diapers. Okay, that's it. Have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you have a question you would like me to answer on the show, please go to childanxietysupport.com/FAQ. And if you'd like to learn more about the Child Anxiety Support membership, please go to childanxietysupport.com. The membership offers courses, live events, and community to help you design a personalized program to free your family from the trap of child anxiety. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with any friends or family who you think might find it helpful. You can get more of my child anxiety content over at Instagram, where I'm Dawn Friedman, MSED, or on Facebook at the Child Anxiety Support page. Thanks again, and have a great week.